Blessing enter atri ita ike ita ita ipra sike tubre anipronta itolosi alolo moradama no masuti entose alanola tanose nota no messia. Let's pray tonight. As we pray, just begin to ask the Lord Jesus. I desire your presence in my life. Just ask him, just simple. Simple prayer tonight. Just ask him, I desire your presence. I desire more. I desire more of you, more of your life. Just begin to pray. Begin to pray about that. Just ask the Lord Jesus, I want more. I want more of you, more of you. More of you, more city, key, Lord. And the Lord, Asuli, Pater. Mosie Tazia Sie Koli Pre Tuli Prose Horon Sifi Turi Pros Anzunamo Tezoma. I hope you're praying. I'm not hearing anyone praying. Please pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus said, I stand at the door of the house and knock, that if anyone will open unto me, that I will come, that I will come in to him, and I will sup with him. I will come in to him, and I will sup with him. That's not just speaking about getting born again. In fact, it's not at all. It's speaking about Jesus coming into our hearts, for to sup, for fellowship, to commune with him, to feed, to feast with him. And this Jesus knocks every day. He knocks at the door, and that door is not, as long as you are on the journey of salvation, that your door is not fully open. You're not fully always welcoming to him. We're not fully, there are things in our life that hedge him out, that still keeps him away from us, that is not having the full access to our hearts and to our lives. But he will desire more. He wants more. He wants more access. He wants more presence. He wants more presence. He wants to be more present, more active with us in with our life. This teaching on the blood is just about how Jesus can flow into you and come in. Jesus wants to flow in your veins. He wants to flow in your arteries. He wants to be your life, the life that you live. That we have to pray tonight. Say, Lord, through mercy, help me, help me. I want to open the door for you. To open whatever way that might mean different things to each one of us. But I believe as you're praying, the Spirit of God will begin to make it clear to you. You'll begin to see what areas of your heart, of your life, where the door still needs to be open to the Lord. Just simple prayer. Just pray more tonight. I just say, Lord, I want more. Help me. Help me to give you more access to my heart, more access to my life, more of your presence, even in my heart and even in my life. Let's begin to pray now. Lord Jesus, Satanarius. Oh, the poorest saint. Oh, the poorest saint. Oh, help me, help me, help me to yield to you. Help my heart to yield to you. Help my heart to yield to you. Help me from my depths, from the depth of my soul. Help me to open the doors of my heart. To open the doors of my heart. Help me to open the doors of my heart. Help me, help me. You come in and stop. You come in and come in. You come in and fellowship. Help my heart for yieldedness. Teach me yieldedness. Teach me submission. Teach me brokenness. Teach me submission. Teach me yieldedness to you. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Make me more welcoming. Make my heart more welcoming. Make me more welcoming. Teach me to welcome you more, to look for you, to lean on you, to yield to you. Masali tonayos, azumeyanto, paradios, desea. Ali donor, ali menor, 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 ali Let's pray, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, help my heart, help my heart to be open. More open to you. To yield more to you. To yield more to you. To yield more to you. And more of your presence. More of your grace. More of your grace. More of your spirit. More of your spirit. More of your spirit. More of your spirit, 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 Estante, Estorante, Estorante. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let us still pray. Let's still pray. Let's still pray. That prayer, I want you to pray it now. Amen. Amen. That prayer I just gave. Now I want you to now pray it. Pray that prayer. Ask the Lord, Lord, and mean it. You know, just pray to Him. So I want you to have more space in my life. I want teach me how to yield more to you. Show me how to yield more to you. How to give you more ground. How to give you more ground. Help my soul. And as you pray it, I want you to see the areas of help where you are. You need help for yielding to Jesus, for allowing Him to have His way, to submitting to Him, submitting to His Spirit, submitting to His leading, because that's what stops the flow of the blood, the flow of redemption. It's stopped by, you know, the areas where we are not leaning. He said, not trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Those areas, you know, it's through direction, as Pastor has been teaching, that it's through direction. That's how the blood is applied, through obedience, through leadings. Let's ask Him that, He said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, there's a posture of heart, a kind of fear, a kind of reverence for the Lord that makes us acknowledge Him in such manner. I want us to just pray tonight. Say, Lord, help me for such brokenness, such yieldedness, such grace to acknowledge You constantly, so that the blood can flow, so that I can connect my redemption, so I can connect my sanctification. Lord, help me, help me. Masekano paresia, le Camila to le Kadida. Everything that has, every training I have had against yieldedness, begin to dissolve them. Untrain me in those parts and train me afresh in how to be yielded, how to be broken to You. Masekili kamole teno. Alinsa salosi paluzo zusi proceed zusi brafi tufi krisi kamola alamaron sote le protevinos onse zimane proteviginu ahana daso ahana daso ahale seso ahena seso ahena seso elino seso elimbro seso enige tani magone. Are you praying? Amasani li kaelit. Oh, are you praying tonight? Makadeti omerota. Levana tons, Levana tons, Megana tons, Segana tons, Segana tons, Segana tons, Segana tons, Omara 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 tons, Omara. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please just take this prayer seriously, okay? Because there's a reason why the Lord wants us to pray them. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, it said, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, that how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, offered Himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Said He will purge our conscience from dead works. Purge the conscience from dead works. That dead works means works that are dead. Works that are dead. If I want to summarize what dead works are, dead works just means useless things, worthless things, works that are not useful, that can't amount to anything. Or dead works are actually the distractions of the conscience. There are things, because what they call conscience here is actually a faculty within the soul. That faculty is like a gate that tells you whether something is right or is wrong. That thing that gives you the impetus of, you know, thing that of righteousness, that validates things, that makes you feel like, you know, this is what I need to be doing, that makes you, you know, validate things or invalidate other things. The enemy has invested in the conscience to put works, define works in the conscience that are dead. It means the conscience can be busy with producing judgment, but judgment over matters that cannot amount to life. That's the devil for you. So what happens, so the soul might not be exercising itself in the arena of service. Right, the arena of service means the things that you actually do that count in the spirit to please God or in the service of God. So you see that without dead works being purged from the conscience, the conscience does not have space to serve God. The conscience will be busy with on you know on unproductive, unnecessary activities, right, of judgment. That does not, it means you will spend your time judging other things that doesn't amount to service to God. So one of the main aspects of the ministry of the blood, when the ministry of the blood has really prospered in his soul, is that you judge the right things, right? You pay the shift your attention, your focus into things that matter in the spirit. The place where you judge is in the arena of life and the spirit. You're able to turn away from childish things, move into things in the spirit that count, right? The heart will be able to properly define righteousness, properly define what are the things that are needful, like Jesus was able to do, comparing him, giving, Jesus was talking about different righteousnesses, those of the Pharisees, right, those of the Jews and all of that, but does not amount to righteousness in the spirit. Those things they called weightier matters are things of real judgment, those matters, right? No matters of mercy, it's a faith, mercy, judgment, those weightier things. We New Testament believers, we don't really know that, mercy. Some of us, blood is still helping us. We're not fully able to operate in the economy of mercy, right? To judge mercies, to operate in that dimension, to live, we call living by faith. Living by faith, faith should be a robust economy, right? A lot of what you spend your con the when you check the activity of your conscience, maybe over a day, over a week, what are the things you find your conscience judging? Sometimes what you find your conscience judging are not weighty matters, right? Because if you are not enlightened enough, why not have enough light to judge more of the weightier matters? So you find that the areas that matter, that have more weight, we might have a kind of autopilot, things our nature normally does in those areas. So we are not able to bring those things, unable to bring those things into judgment. For example, maybe you are relating with your, the way you relate with maybe a brother, or you relate with a sister, or the way you relate with anybody, or your parents, your pastor, your anybody, relationships in your life. There might be things in those relationships, areas in those relationships where you are falling below the standard of righteousness. But the heart might not be able to see those areas if the blood is not speaking to you, if the conscience has not been fully purged from dead works. A conscience, a sign of a conscience that has not been purged from dead works is some kind of pettiness. Pettiness means that it's what you call petty righteousness, where you major on the external things. Those are the main teachings of Jesus. If you look at it, what Jesus was actually teaching was in all those things, that focus of people on petty things, when the real spiritual righteousness is not being. Jesus went even into prayer life, that in prayer life of people, you see the same thing. The way someone prays, just repeating things and all that. But he's not paying attention to the activity of the secret. Jesus called it the secret. That when you go into your secret, close the door. They spoke about your father who seeth in secret that will reward openly. So there's a secret dimension. There's a secret dimension of our life, Christian life, right? That is not open for judgment, will not be open for judgment unless the blood of Jesus has purged our conscience from petty things that take our time and our energy, right? So those pettiness must be purged. When it comes to just maybe discernment, how you discern your brothers, how you discern your sisters, what you see about them, what things occur. A lot of times it's the superficial things that occur. to us. We are not able to see the weight of the soul, to see spiritual import. Some of us, our relationships need to be redefined. Relationships with people, not just with those in the fold. There are some people who are outside the fold, this fold, who there are some kind of relationships you have to have with them, right? But there's a way you can summarize them, you know. Like today, I was just speaking with one of my classmates from secondary school. I don't know. I was speaking to someone, another of my classmates. We found ourselves just chatting over the week. But this other one, I heard that he had lost his wife. So she was sick. So I just, something in my heart said I should actually try and reach out to him. So I tracked him down, got his number, and I called him. I called him and we're just speaking with him and we're just talking. We spoke about a lot of our different classmates from, you know, secondary school. Well, he was just giving me updates, you know, this person, where this person is, where this person is, you know, all of those people. Those people are doing different things, you know, different things in the world. But just speaking with him, as I was speaking with him, I just saw the Spirit of God, you know, showing me his soul. That's where I was seeing him, just as, you know, that my friend, because I don't even know if he's born again fully now, you know, but there's a way I was seeing him. But the Holy Ghost was trying to tell me, no, don't, can you see this soul? And just help him. I just had help in the moment as I was talking to him. I just felt some kind of compassion for him, just to discern him, to discern his soul. And I began to feel, you know, certain desire. And I believe it was the desire of the Lord, you know, concerning him. That this is a soul that the Lord is also interested in. The Lord also wants to save. The Lord wants to come, wants him to, you know, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, and so there are a lot of interaction. That's just an example of something that happened today. But there are a lot of things like that, you know, as a Christian. Your Christian life remains superficial, right, until the purging of the conscience. It's not possible to live beyond just being superficial. And if you're superficial, you relate with people at a superficial level, you know. And when we are relating with each other superficially, we find out we get offended by the wrong things. You know, we pick on petty things, you know, just little things that don't matter. We can easily spoil relationships, break fellowship based on just little things that don't matter. The reason is because of lack of depth in our judgment, or lack of weight, like Jesus put it, lack of weight in discernment and judgment. And these are not things that you act out. These are things that must happen by help. It's almost like until the conscience is purged, right? And purging of the conscience, it took time in the New Testament, that first church, for the blood to work its way through them. You see all those Jewish guys, those Jewish boys, even all of them, the disciples of Jesus, for them to receive the ministry of the blood until they came to full purging, to the point where they could now flow well with the Spirit of the New Testament and live in the Spirit as they could. It took a lot of help. So I want us to pray more tonight, just to give us some context of what I mean by what this thing they call dead works. And dead works here is not talking about maybe outward sin, maybe fornication or stealing or lying and all of that. Those are not the thing. When you say those are not the works of the conscience. Those are those things people do, weaknesses and all of that. But what you call works of the conscience, you're talking about the things that get the attention of the conscience, that make the conscience apply, attach sense of righteousness and judgment to them. And so the enemy has a way that he brings distractions in those areas to stop the heart from living from a depth, right, from his place, which is the arena where you really serve God from. Said you purge your conscience from dead work so that you can serve the living God. And let's pray tonight. Say, Lord, help my soul. Bring me, help me. And the prayer is just upgrade my service. That's the prayer point. Upgrade, make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant of yours. Help me. Purge my conscience. Help my hand. Bring the ministry of the blood to me, to help my soul, to help my conscience, to move me from the surface. Take my soul into the depth. I want to begin to live from the depth, to see from the depth, to perceive from the depth. I want, help me, Lord Jesus. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Masika elito praste. Elevano suse prote paote vi paote vi sulle tue salute sia bradanio solonde lupole che kerone poro 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 dia dalla blanca lupole che kerone moro alessa materia nobranca subina branca dia la gratia dia cabarana sveza paso zanso e terene che su soro poro poro la spalla la vera le acqua e terene che Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so sorry. I know normally we do like question and answer, but sorry, the way it is quickening in my heart today is just a bit different. Just this prayer is still question and answer. It's just a different way. Just see the prayer as quests. You know, questions. Sometimes, you know, if you say ask questions, we might not really be asking the questions our heart really needs the answer to. You know, we need help from the Spirit. And the Lord just wants to help us tonight to raise the right quest from this topic of the blood, because this is an elusive subject. There's a way we can say things around the blood, but we are not really touching the essence about of the blood of Jesus. But the Spirit of God want to help us and to raise some quests, some prayers of our hearts, so that we can touch God's heart concerning the ministry of the blood. And then we can receive answers from him. The answer to the questions will be answer to prayers, meaning the Lord releasing this ministry to help us, to help our soul. He said, how much more the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, purge our conscience to serve the living God. Our conscience must be purged by the blood so that we can serve God. Otherwise, we won't be able to serve God if the conscience is not purged. I'm still seeing that monster called religion. That's what I'm staring at it. I'm seeing it. That thing is a giant technology of the devil, Satan, to waste the time and effort of God's people. And it's what it does is to define, you know, service. Religion is just a way to define service, but remove the vitality from it. So to make you not serve God vitally, but you will be doing things, but you're not ending up, the heart is not really registering in the spirit, in the place of giving service to God. That's what it does. So, and only the blood can change that. Only the blood, the answer to it, because it's a work of his spirit. It's the work of a cherub who has done that to give us a wrong orientation about serving God. But part of the huge part of the ministry of the blood, and that's what Jesus came to do, is to just came to redefine service. He came to reinstitute, you know, a new season, a new era of service. He came to right all the wrongs. He came to redefine what it means to serve God, right? That to serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. So this area is something that's very important. Now, you see, as the revelation is coming, light is coming, the Lord is helping us to see. The is a way that sight should be translating into a sense of what to do. Right? As Pastor has taught us, sorry, I'm so sorry, I did not greet her. I didn't greet All the pastors, I'm so sorry about that. It's just because we flowed just straight into prayer from the beginning. But just want to really appreciate our dear pastors, Pastor Ceci, first of all, who taught us this class. Thank you, sir, for your tireless labor, painstakingly just trying to make sure we grab the import of this message. Thank you so much for blessing us this past few weeks. You, thank regards also to your lovely wife, Mom B. I'm sure program in Saskatoon was a huge success. I'm sure God has blessed everyone this past weekend. Also want to thank Pastor Femi and Pastor Bemi. God bless you, Sam. Love you. Love you so much. Pastor B, Pastor Bukumi, and Pastor Tovia, God bless you. Love you too. Love you too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So talking about service, right? That's service is something that we must master, right? You have to master how to serve God. And service must ascend, it must arise. It must arise up to God. So what religion, like I said, what religion does, right? Religion is it removes the vitality, all the vital aspects out of pleasing God, out of serving God. So it creates some kind of numbness. You know, you can have plenty of revelation, information, or insight, so to speak, but there can still be some kind of numbness of the heart when it comes to that vital, leading. There's a way the heart should be. The heart is a pumping instrument. It's a beat. They call it heartbeat. Heartbeat means the heart should have beat. The heart should have rhythm. The heart should be pumping. The heart should be active. The heart should be vital. So the heart of the soul should be that way. The heart of the soul should be the vitality of the heart. It comes from the blood of Jesus, right? The blood of Jesus being applied to the heart is what keeps the heart vital, right? In obedience. That obedience, comes from leading. So, like Pastor also has thought about the voice speaking, hearing the voice of the blood, hearing the voice of the blood. So one of the problem is that if the conscience is not purged, the places where we are supposed to be hearing the voice of the blood, we will not hear the voice of the blood. We'll hear other things. And one of the main issue we have is that with all of our revelation, yeah, areas of our lives where the blood is not speaking, where the Lord is not speaking, right? You find out it's as if maybe when you are in a certain circle, maybe when you are in meeting or around certain people, you come into a kind of context where, the things of the spirit have more relevance, they have more vitality. But when you move outside certain circles, maybe when you go to the office or when you go somewhere else, when you are interacting with your neighbor, or you are in the grocery store, interacting with somebody else, or you're outside there, or even interacting with some other kind of Christian who doesn't understand things where you are, which is not in the same context. Right? Sometimes there are times we can shift, and sometimes even in our own secret personal life where some of the religious things are not present, we find that some that the voice of the blood can speak. The voice of the blood might not be speaking, might not be hearing. How much do you hear the blood when you are at work, talking with your boss, talking with your work, your colleague, when you're trying to solve an issue, solve a problem, when you're out there, in your life, the things we do normally, how much do you hear the voice? How much does the blood speak? How much do you see blood life? How much blood instructions do you hear? Do you have? How much, blood? And when you check the life of Jesus was not a religious leader that was confined to the temple. Jesus was walking around. He was relating with sinners. And you find out that in the context of every interaction that Jesus had, the blood had something to say. I mean that his conscience was never numb in any situation. He was always active, no matter the people, whether both in a friendly atmosphere, unfriendly atmosphere, no matter who was speaking to him, no matter the opposition, no matter the circumstances, right? He was always, you know, his conscience was always there. Judgment, the instrument of judgment was always there, you know, to speak. So what I'm seeing out of this prayer, or the quest that we need to raise from our heart, is that desire for a full scope revival, a revitalization of the heart, of the conscience, right? You know, and the goal is to get to a point where there is no space in your life where the conscience is silent, where the voice is silent, where the blood is silent, where the blood is not speaking, right? There's no space in our person, you know, where Jesus, you know, is not having relevance to speak and to dictate, right? It's because also what stifles him, what, you know, takes ground from him are those things called dead works. Dead works means wrong definitions, right? Yeah, wrong definitions. What makes your conscience respond a different way when you are in a different context? Those are the dead works. So those things must be purged by the blood. There must be blood. The blood must flow into every artery, into every vein, into every aspect of your life. The way blood flows from your head, crown of your head, to the sole of your feet, there's no place in your body where the blood doesn't flow. That's how our soul is meant to be. The blood is meant to flow through all the streams of our heart, all the streams of our soul and of our mind. It's supposed to receive the portion of the blood. I want to pray, if you can get this prayer, this quest tonight, you know, as a quest, if your heart can capture it tonight, I want you to pray it to heaven, because the Lord will have answers for you. Just begin to pray today. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, more of the purging. Begin to let that work begin, the work of the purging of my conscience, of my heart, from dead works, from distractions, from wrong contextualizations of different schisms in my inward man that doesn't give you a free way, that doesn't allow the voice of God to have its free course, to always speak and be relevant. Lord, come and help me. Come and help me. Nekazeze, bring the ministry of the blood, even for service. Let's begin to pray. Makaise, leave it us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just to pray just a little bit more. Speaking about the ministry of the word, of the blood, sorry. Ministry of the blood. It's the ministry of the blood that raises servants. Servants of God are those who have been raised by blood. Those who have been blood raised, blood raised, blood cultured, blood tutored, blood led. Those who have been revived by the blood. Blood of Jesus, to purge our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God, to serve the living God. So serving God cannot be done without the blood. So the way I see the blood, The ministry of the blood, I see it as, like I said, it's like it's vitality, but I want us to pray. The Lord can help us catch some a bit more light, maybe description about it. You can't be, you're only as you cannot be more righteous than the things you pay attention to. Let me just use try his plain language to describe it. You can't be, you're only as righteous as your consciousness of your attention, the things that you, so the things that slip by your attention, those things, you find that, because there's not really such thing as just passive righteousness, right? Find that all the realms of passivity of our soul, those are the corners where the enemy hides, right? Because he has installed all those passive impulses and installations of darkness. Many of them are inheritances that we received, out of from sin and death. That is the that form the passive flow of our soul. So for there to be redemption, or that in a call, say whom we are by whom we receive redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption through the blood, forgiveness. Now, forgiveness of sins is talking about the detailed application. That's the concept of sprinkling. It's talking about using the blood to apply to details. That's how you raise servants of God are raised in the details. How detail, the detail, your attention to detail in the spirit. That is what how they rate your quality of service. Someone who doesn't pay attention to details of spiritual things, who just let things slide and just flows anyhow, they won't rate you in the spirit. All right, heaven, they will keep their things from you, and God will do everything to keep gap, because God will know, the Father will know you can't hurt him, because out of your ignorance or not or areas you're not paying attention to, he knows the enemy can use those things. So when that's the whole concept of raising a priest, right? How to develop a priest? A priest is someone who has capacity for detail, intense insight, sight, scrutiny. The soul of a priest scrutinizes things. And I'm not talking about the scrutiny of religious mind, that sees fault in everything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spiritually educated nature of scrutiny that can see unrighteousness in the spirit, that can discern it and know that this thing, this one is wrong, this one is not right. My heart shouldn't be this way. And oftentimes, how you can tell religion versus this one is religion is always has to do with something that appears. Religion is not really concerned with what's happening in the secret of the person's own heart. Religion is usually about appearances, what something seem like, what things seem like. One area of weakness sometimes is, this interaction one with another, and these are the issues, areas where issues come up. Two people having issues with each other. You wonder why are you having issues? When you get into it, this person will say, okay, because of the what that person said. And when you boil down to the matter, you now realize that this person is just considering what maybe the other person said or did, and it can pick offense by it, but does not have any kind of piercing eyes to read the heart of the other person. And oftentimes, you find that if that capacity comes, you now realize that oftentimes no one is just going about trying to hurt you, trying to be mean to you. A lot of the offenses that come from people are just because of weaknesses, oversight. They were not thinking, they were not, paying attention. or things like that. But you see, if you take a spiritual person, someone who has whose has priestly nature, to look beyond another person's mistake, maybe something obvious that they said or did, but rather look to the heart instead, look more of the weightier things. When you look deep into a soul, there are many things you see. Oftentimes, when you are seeing maybe offense, malice, you can look at someone, I think this person just doesn't like me. This person, treats me this way. They don't treat me in the right way. When you look at a Christian and you see that, you are still shallow. It means that you are still looking at their shell, their shallowness, the way, all those things. But when you look deeper, after some time, you look beyond the outer, you now begin to see their soul. When you really look deep, after some time, all you will see is just a spirit that Jesus has saved. You discern, that's the level, right, of Israel. You judge in terms of, you almost like judge the way God judges, right? The way God sees, the way, from the spiritual point of view. When you see into the spirit, instead of seeing a person on offense, you see all the workings of Satan. You will even begin to see all the evil spirits troubling the person. You begin to see how they are trying to fight those spirits, how they just fail sometimes. You'll be seeing all different things altogether. You'll be seeing how the enemy sets snares for them. You'll begin to see their struggle. You see those are spiritual things, right? But when the soul is carnal, you don't have enough. The conscience has to, has too much dead works. Doesn't have too much judgment. We only judge on the outward. And I spoke about God, that God doesn't look on the outward. God looks on the inward. I know we also have to, also are supposed to be that way. Also, that's the priestly nature. The priestly, what makes you a priest is how piercing your judgment is, how deep you see, how much into the invisible do you see? How do you see people? How do you see men? Do you only see the outward behavior of people? If you see that alone, you judge based on that, which is carnal judgment, which is outward judgment. But there are deeper judgment. There are blood generated senses, blood generated judgments. All of this. That's what makes you a priest. That's what makes you a priest. So, like I said, that attention to detail. When there's the health of any community. It can be measured by how much redemption has happened in that community. That's how, when you go into a community where redemption is very little, you'll be seeing too much carnality, issues, problems, things don't settle. Something will, when this one is coming down, the other one will start different things. It's because of too much outward judgment, not too, there are too many dead works at play. And but when the blood has passed through the ministry of the blood, when God has taken a people deep into the ministry of the blood, right, is that when in each heart the voice of the blood sounds, it sounds strong, it sounds, higher. The volume of the blood is higher than the volume of spirits that suggests wrong things and does branding of things in the wrong way. When the voice of the blood is high, you find the community people are more healthy, and so that's what I want us to pray today. See that detailed thing. Like I used the analogy before, you see the way the blood flows. There's no place in your body that you're gonna you take a pin, right, and hook somewhere. No matter how extreme that part of the body is, you will see blood will come out of there. That tells you how where the that the blood flows into all areas, and that's how our hearts are supposed to be, that level of vitality, how vital we are. There's no space, there's no that we are able to take to judge from the depth. The Bible says that he that is spiritual judges all things, is and judgment is according to the ministry and how much redemption of the blood has been wrought. So the Lord will help us. Now, we will not just be a people who know things. We're going to be a bloody people, the people of blood, the people whose conscience have been helped, who've con we are going to be That God wants this community to be a community of servants, people who serve God, people who serve God through their spirit, who are able to wrought righteousness through the blood of Jesus, through the judgment which the blood has brought. I want to just begin to pray now. Begin to pray for your own heart. Just wait, this prayer is your own heart prayer. I'm sure you get that sense from now. Just look inwardly and pray. Pray to the Lord. The Lord, help me. Help me. Raise my heart. Breathe my heart, redeem my heart, purge my heart, purge my heart. Let the blood, let the blood flow. Let your blood flow into my heart. Revitalize me, revitalize me, revitalize me. Make me sensitive. Create blood sensitivity, sensitivity of righteousness, of judgment. Oh, that make me more sensitive to the spirit. Less to the flesh. Let us pray. Let us pray. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe we are receiving help tonight. We are receiving help. I believe that. I believe so strongly we are receiving help. The blood. One of the things the blood gives us, amen. Of the things that the blood wrought, the blood, the ministry of the blood, once you begin to receive that ministry of the blood or redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that redemption, when that redemption begins to be wrought in our heart, in our soul. One of the characteristic, what characterizes that redemption, salvation, is, sorry, I'm finding words to describe them, but it's, I'll call it sensitivity. It's sensitivity. A blood, it's a heart, a blood-washed heart is sensitive. Or you say the conscience is alive. Is alive. That's what you call a living conscience. A conscience as a life is a conscience that is sensitive. It's sensitive. God does not need to cause earthquake or thunder or something for you to know that you are breaking a law or you are doing something. Right? He doesn't need to do all that because the heart has vitality of the blood. The heart is vital. The heart can pick impulses. Legal impulses in the spirit, right? Because what governs a person, the blood-washed person, or you call a spiritual person, right, is the capacity to live by invisible laws that are not obviously stated. So if your walk with the Lord hasn't moved beyond, you know, the place where all the righteousness you are doing are the things that people have defended. Maybe you've literally read in the Bible, don't do this. Or a pastor has spelled out to you, don't do that. And for some of us, sometimes, and even when it's spelled out, there's still difficulty to carry out those instructions, to live in that way. That means that our redemption is low, is still low. The amount of ministry of blood we have received and our capacity of service, of pleasing God, is still low. Now, this blood we are speaking of God, of course, is the blood of Jesus, right? Or is the blood of Jesus, as learned, Pastor Sassi has taught, is the blood of Jesus, is the life of Jesus. Is the life of Jesus. So when you are receiving redemption from that blood of Jesus, you also be all you'll be gaining all the sensitivity of Jesus' life. So just picture Jesus based on what we have read through the Spirit, we understood concerning how sensitive was Jesus to the impulses of the Father. How sensitive was he to spiritual things? How sensitive, how careful was he about breaking invisible laws? You know, he kept trying to push things into the invisible to raise the sensitivity. He told them at one point, say, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. It must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Except, so you must have a righteousness that comes beyond the superficial, right? You have to be able to obey invisible laws, to see the laws, to define the laws, to be able to tell the boundaries of the laws, right? Without it just being spelled out to you, right? There's a way in the blood. There's a way that in the blood, that there's a kind of heightened sensitivity. So our health is sensitivity. You know, that's one of the characteristics of living things. As we're taught in school, right? There's movement and respiration, all of those things. Well, one of them, they call it irritability. Irritability, they defined it as respond to stimuli. How well you respond to stimuli, that's a sign of life. So that the blood of, you know, Jesus, how much would the blood of Christ purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The word living means sensitive. That's another word for living. Living means, when you say the living God, it means the God who is sensitive to certain things. He's highly sensitive. That's what makes him living. What you call a living soul, or you call the four living creatures. It's what makes them living creatures, and they define them as living in a class that is higher than all the other angels, is because of their level of sensitivity. That's what Ezekiel was showing, how sensitive they are to the spirit of the Father. So where the Spirit wills to go, according, they are bound to the will of the Spirit. How sensitive they are. That's what makes one living, right? So to serve the living God, you must have some level of sensitivity, and sensitivity of the heart. There's a way you can pick the feeling of the Spirit of God. You can pick when the Spirit of God is frowning concerning something. You don't need to wait for three brethren to call you and say this thing you are doing is wrong. Just the frown of the Spirit of God is enough to make the heart, you know, retreat. That is so that has vitality, that has touched some redemption. You must touch redemption at a level to heighten our sensitivity. Otherwise, the words we are hearing, right, this is what is the blood that makes the messages, revelation, the word come alive. Right, it's how they are to awaken sensitivity. You know. So I want us to pray in these terms. Right? We are praying for, it's the same thing we've been praying for since. I'm just trying to use different ways because different souls will have different doors of understanding. So I want us to pray for it in the terms of sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord. Sensitivity to the Lord Jesus, sensitivity to the Father, sensitivity to invisible laws. There are some invisible laws that should not be broken among our brethren, among in the flock, in the code, and also in our relationship with those who are without, those who are outside the community, those who are in the larger body of Christ, right? Those who are even outside the body of Christ, and we relate with these people on a daily basis. Our life, the Lord has defined our life such that our life touches different axes, you know, different kind of place. And the blood has things to say about those places. And there must be sensitivity, high sensitivity in each place of interaction for us. I want us to pray more concerning this. Lord, make my heart more sensitive. Make me more sensitive to impulses of the Spirit of God, more sensitive to leading, to the voice, to the to the emotion, to the face, and to the countenance of the Lord. Increase my sensitivity. Let's just begin to pray about this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the praying. The ministry of the blood is the ministry of wholeness. The ministry of the blood is a ministry of wholeness. Is the ministry of life. Is the ministry of life. It's like I've using the word vitality, right? Vitality. Vitality, life, life, vitality. Vitality. For life to pre-present, it means that there's a way things must be. There are elements, vital elements that make life appear. All right. Those elements must be present, and they must be present in their right composition, must be present in their right, you know, quantities. They must be present wholesomely for life to emerge. So that's why the blood, what the blood symbolizes, right, is the ministry of Jesus. Is how to get Jesus' life reproduced in you. How the life of Jesus can be reproduced in you. That's what the blood is for. So when you are receiving the ministry of the blood, you're receiving everything that is in Jesus. Now, there's a way ministry happens. In ministry, when you're ministering to souls, or when we are being ministered to, we're being blessed over time, trying to, you know, journey, we're learning this light and all. And there's a way things must be broken down and given gradually, right? Over different seasons, in installments, with different lights, you understand? So there are, but at the end of the day, all of those materials, resources, aspects of vital things that are being ministered to us, for life to appear, there's a way they must come together in us in some wholesome manner, right? That's what makes it work. That's what makes that's what produces the overcoming world, you know, the overcoming life. Is that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If ministry is not then as arriving at the blood. The purpose of every ministry is to arrive at the blood. But if the ministry is not arriving at the blood, then life will not be showing up, will not be having, and if there's no life coming, then there won't be that too much victory being recorded, right? Because there won't be enough of overcoming. So there's a way that life must be rich, the richness and the riches of life, right, of the life that which God wants to communicate, which Jesus came to bring. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. That life which Jesus came to give is blood, right? Blood minister, blood minister. So the blood is what everything converges into. Everything you will learn when you are learning the spirit, it converges in the blood. Right, when you're learning this with all the food, all the meals, all the nutrients, right? Everything that you are eating, that you are being nourished by spiritually, must converge in the blood. And that's what the blood really, really signifies. The blood is that thing that everything converges into. Like, think about it physically. When you drink, if you're drinking, if you're eating, any food you eat must enter into your blood. The point of the whole digestive system in the body is to take anything you are consuming and move them into the blood. That's the purpose of your liver, right? The purpose of your liver, every food, everything that every nutrient that comes into your body passes through your liver. The purpose of the liver is to convert nourishment into the bloodstream, to move things into the bloodstream, because the blood is what carries wholeness. For the purpose of life emerging, right? So everything must get into the blood. When you drink spirit, when you drink wine, right? Wine involves spirit. All the alcohol in the wine must enter into the bloodstream. When you eat carbohydrates, it must get into the blood. Eat protein. Everything is the blood. Everything converges in the blood. Everything converges in the blood. That's why when you go for tests, they want to check what's wrong with you. They don't need to take you and just open your every. They don't need too many things. Just your doctor will just give you go and do a blood test. They want to find out everything in you that's happening to your body, how healthy you are, how much fat is in your body, how much cholesterol, how much sugar is in your blood, or even if you have cancer, if you have anything, any sickness. So your blood can tell, the blood specimen of an entity can tell you their health state, right? Because that's where everything is. It goes finally into the blood. So all ministry, everything, when you are hearing the word, when you are listening, when you are receiving the spirit, having under the season of the Holy Ghost, season of baptism, everything still converges into the ministry of the blood, right? When you really, really gain the vitality, the life, is when the blood begins to speak, when the dealings of the blood begins, right, in your life. So that wholesomeness. So what I want to pray for now is that thing of wholesomeness. We are people of knowledge. We are people of learning. We know many things. Right? We are learning many things, but sometimes it's those things coming together, right, to produce this vitality that we are speaking about. That to revive the conscience, to revive the heart, right, to make one's heart to produce that sensitivity. That the Spirit of God is speaking to us about. So we need help. So I want us to begin to pray that. Everything in our life that is a barrier to wholesomeness, I want us to be. We have that our high priest, Jesus, his point, his ministry, right, is to how to apply that blood in our lives. So he stands for us in the spirit, he intercedes for us in the spirit, right? He's interceding as the high priest. That's the work of the high priest, is the usage of blood, how to use blood to deal with infirmities. How to apply blood. That's the work that they do in the tabernacle. That's the work of Jesus. So I want us to pray for wholesomeness, that in a new spirit of wholesomeness, a new grace for wholesomeness will begin in our life. That, I know souls are different. So sorry to stay on this point for this long. Souls are very different, based on our peculiarities and our infirmities. That determines what we leave behind. There's some aspect of the ministry that we are more excited about. We always jump towards that area. Some people are more in tune towards maybe the Spirit, Holy Ghost, or and that's to do with spirit. So I'm more in tune with just understanding. Just break it down to me. Give me the point one, two, three, right? But to combine all those, the blood is where things mix. Everything that has been given as resources, they mix in the blood to produce vitality, and that there should be no man, you should not be malnourished. If someone is malnourished, test their blood. You can tell what if iron is missing. If you are not been eating a diet that doesn't include enough iron, test the blood, you will see it. If you lack vitamin K or vitamin B or anything, if you lack Your salt level is down. Anything that is missing in your diet will show up in the blood. You get. So that's why I want us to pray that there will be grace for wholesomeness, that the high priest will begin to minister to us. Our hearts will begin to be yielded towards being whole, being wholesome, so that you might be complete, that you might be entire, that you will be lacking nothing, according to the book of James. Let us begin to pray for that. Masande ikaloma. Enkalama, enkalama, zekalima, zokalenta, zikriheta, siye, zose pronta vino, embarata, this is the men of vehicle, enkae, enkore, similo, poronta, firenda, zurenta, zika, zunenda, 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 If a mamo enfremia samilo zuria masore mielore marotana tala dima tala dana tore ohon se 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 lino se tore palai le zuzan le zuzi zuzi se maletu sima lorante sa inta 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 libro ta libra ita zibra no se se fronte oh li parata na mata la ma oh things oh things oh all the resources of Jesus, all the things of Jesus will be complete. And they will be complete. They will be complete in my soul. They will be complete. I will lack nothing. That I will be perfect. That I will be entire. That I will be entire. That I will be lacking nothing. I will help me to lack nothing. Help me to be whole. Help me to be whole. Make me 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 complete. Make me entire. Make me to lack nothing. Help me. Man, make me entire, make me rounded, make me complete, Jesus. Say we are complete in him. We are complete in him. Make me complete in you, Jesus. By your blood. Menelo vahala mosa. O friendes agorienta musike brenta la marontis here. O fretete lea, o brenete dea, 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 o sobre l'impriote 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 zingringa l'imbrim pore filente lo farata messi che calamo trova messi lo fanata la mamura tamase tomorrow let us pray tonight let us pray these are things that you don't know how to bring them to pass in your life. We don't have these are areas of need. We need help. Let's pray for help. Let's pray for the Lord Jesus. Help us. Help us. Mantene kalamata. Eliminate a little. Lifarada la madigale mana mana. These are points of need. Points of need. Points of need. Asi kele mahota. Infanita nifinon. Infanifrema nifinon. Infanifrema nifinon. Infanifrema nifinon. Infanifrema nifinon. Infanifrema nifinon. Begin to see yourself before the throne of grace, obtaining mercy before the high priest, obtaining the mercy of Jesus. See yourself receiving grace to help at these various points of need, at these various points of need. Receive grace, Matalante. L'impalaga le malanta aérea la masso souris en prante vigilos. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, marana la la gale 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 gale. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Shetali Kamuzi and to Sizamaro Tekia. Efronde Sivarata. Emprataya. Emprata. Emprata. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Lord just spoke to me. The Lord just spoke to me. He said that he wants to deliver. There's a spirit that he wants us to pray against something. He's a walking. He's a spirit. He's also a walking something. Something that opposes service. That opposes servants. Servants. And against servant is the spirit and workings of condemnation. I just saw it in the spirit. Lord say he wants us to pray about it. The spirit of condemnation. It's the spirit that opposes service, it opposes priests. No, he said there's therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8. Those who are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, the spirit of condemnation is part of the religious spirit. They are twins. Spirit of condemnation. Condemnation is just, there are many ways to define it, though, but I like to use spirit giving definition because sometimes that can open the door of insight. Because some of this spirit, they don't want to be seen. There's a way they, you know, you can pray, let's pray against spirit of condemnation, we'll pray, but we are not seeing the spirit. Because we need to see that thing so that it will break, because light gives deliverance. Spirit of condemnation, the way I see that spirit is just simple. It's just the Lord said, it's the spirit that makes you look at yourself and not God. Just that spirit that in all that is being said, all that has been done, all that has been ministered, all you keep seeing is yourself. The spirit that puts more emphasis on you than on the Lord. That's just, so the, and the reason for that spirit is to make you miss grace. It's to make you miss grace. So it's to cut short that appointment with grace, because for every moment of ministry there's an appointment with grace. Say that you should guard up your mind sober, look to that grace that will come. There's a grace that should be coming every time the Lord is being revealed, every time there's a ministration of the Spirit. There's a kind of grace that you should look to receive. But the spirit of condemnation always stays with you anytime you are in a moment of receiving the ministry of the Spirit. The spirit of condemnation parses the language of ministration. As it parses the thought, it interprets it, and it casts a different image. Instead of showing the Lord, showing Because when you look at the Lord, you see victory, you see hope, you see grace, you see helps, you see abilities, you see power. Jesus is our victory, right? Jesus is our victory. All that we are meant, the Lord will never ask us to do anything that Jesus has not already done. All of the things we are meant to fight, to make war with, to overcome, we don't have our own victory. All our victory, we are just meant to come into his own victory, right? The Lord Jesus, right, who ascended on high, who led captivity captive, who gave gifts to men, that same Lord Jesus, right, who made a public show of principalities. He triumphed over them in it, right? He overcame death, every infirmity, everything that we have. So, but the spirit of condemnation will make you, instead of seeing that man in a point of ministration, you want it to just all constantly be looking at yourself, checking it with yourself. What's the possibility? Can I do it? Will I follow it? How will I go and do it? How will I go and obey it? How will I? It's all that look is a spirit that does that. It will teach the heart wrongly, right? When it says you should gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. That guarding up, be sobriety, is talking about a kind of orientation that one should have, right? In this time when the Lord is being revealed, right? To begin to hope and look for that grace that should come unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to pray, because that spirit is an enemy. It's an enemy of the ministry of the blood. Condemnation, the spirit of condemnation is an enemy of the ministry of the blood. And the Lord wants us to pray against it. And he wants to bring deliverance tonight. He wants to bring from souls who are easily condemned. You know, some souls you always feel like you've done something bad. You always feel like maybe you're not worthy of the Lord. You're just feeling like maybe these things you can never meet up. It belongs to someone else. It's because of too much consciousness of ourselves, of our weaknesses, of our friend. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to have so much faith, courage to look up. Right? That was the lesson in the wilderness. When the snakes were there, the snakes on the ground did not disappear. They were still there, willing to bite, ready to bite. But if only you can have courage, instead of looking at the infirmity, have courage to instead look up, right? You see, as the Son of Man, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so is the Son of Man being lifted up, right? He says, those that are able to look up instead, they are the ones who will live. Grace to look up. That's what the Lord wants to minister to us. From now, changing the orientation of our heart, dealing with condemnation, but rather creating a more spiritually optimistic outlook, an outlook that looks unto Jesus. Say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Grace to look to Jesus. Just begin to pray. Now, no, it's condemnation we are praying against, but I want you to pray the prayer as the grace and courage to look at Jesus. Just begin to pray, say, Lord, give it to me. Give it to me from now on. That only he will be before me, that I will look at nothing else. I will see nothing else but the Lord. I will begin to see nothing else but the Lord. I will begin to look to him. Just begin to pray. I will look to him for grace. I will look to him for help. I will look to him for grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for tonight. Just lift your voice and say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all we have received from you. Thank you for answers. For answers. For answers. You've answered. Thank you, Lord, for answers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father. We thank you. 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 We thank you, our Father in heaven. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for grace, for supplication to ask of you, O God. Ask of you. We've made our petitions, Lord, as you have directed us tonight, because you have things which you wanted to give to us. And Lord, we believe that we have received from you. Our souls have received. We have received all that we have asked for. So we give all the glory to you, our Father. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of the blood. The ministry of the blood, which is available, which is already at work, Lord, in every heart, in every soul, in every conscience, the life of everyone, in every home, in every place, oh God. The ministry of the blood, which is active, oh God, which will prosper even in our midst. We bless you. We thank you, oh God. We give you all the glory. Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will participate. Everyone, Lord, in this company, everybody, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, 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 let them come under. Under this blessing, under this blessing, let these activities, let them, Lord, let them be active.
Amen.
Let them be manifest, oh God.
Amen.
And by your grace, by your spirit, by your power,
amen.
By your ability. Thank you for the deliverances which you have brought.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just thank you.
Thank you
for
Jesus.
Your advocacy for us, for standing in the presence of the Father, for being a high priest for us, for being an advocate to give you all the glory. Thank you. It's your blood we are praying concerning. Thank you for making it possible, Lord. Lord, access that blood. And Lord, it will be, oh God, unto our redemption and
on
our salvation. Thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. We thank you, Lord, for this book. Thank you for all we have learned, oh God, all the previous classes. But I pray, oh God, that these lessons, Lord, you will breathe upon them. Let them be alive. Let the spirit of them, oh God, be alive and at work. Even in our lives. Thank you, our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.